Chris. What's happening, man? Enjoying the draft so far?
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm doing good. Funny thing is, I think I'll be driving into the studio in about half an hour now. I got to do the Blue Jays game at 4 o'clock.
Just I'm blaming Bill Daly, man. Does he not know your work schedule? What's going on here?
Oh, no, it's going good. I mean, I could have came in a little bit early, but no, it's been fun following the draft today. I know it's been dragging on, but I feel like the 2019 draft, like being in the arena, it felt like we were there for about 8 hours, so this doesn't really shock me too much.
No, but at least being in person, there was a certain energy to it, and at least we're doing a live show, so we're staying company, talking to one another, and having our listeners be engaged. So we got that going for us. But Chris, we've been exchanging texts and talking quite a bit with you and myself and Bick about the draft and what the Canucks might do. And you know, you've been putting a lot of work into the draft this year, doing a lot of nice prospect write ups on Canucks Army and talking about it on your podcast, of course, with David Quadrelli. But you know, you kind of had a sense of where the Canucks might go. So what did you think of some of these selections the Canucks made here in the fifth round and sixth round specifically?
Yeah, I think that there was definitely something that was kind of a pattern with the Swedish hockey players this year in the draft. And a lot of that was guys that were playing in the J-20 league, whether it be the J-20 National or the other Junior 20 league over there in Sweden. I mean, those leagues got shut down, and I think Canucks fans were aware of that, because of Victor Persson, who really struggled to find a place to play this year. But at the same time, a lot of those guys that were shut down in that J-20 league ended up being called up by the SHL teams and were given an opportunity to at least practice with the SHL teams, and then some of them got into games as well. But in Hugo Gabrielsson's case, he was able to jump to the Hockey Etan League, which is kind of the third division there in Sweden. And, I mean, this kid played very well in that third division. He looked excellent in the J-20, finishing as, I believe, the sixth highest scoring defenseman in that league before it shut down. And he's been, you know, a guy that I've had my eye on for a long time. When I looked at kind of all the major scouting sites and saw where he was ranked and then actually watched him for myself, I was thinking, like, man, this kid is going to be a steal if the Canucks can get him pretty late. And obviously they did, and I'm really happy with who the Canucks picked there at 169.
I'm going to use one word to describe him. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. Fluid. Is that fair?
Fluid sounds good. Yeah, I mean, this is a two-way guy who, you know, doesn't have that bulky size that I think a lot of Canucks fans wanted to see. They wanted to, you know, go out and get one of these big defensemen. The guy that went right after him, I was very high on as well, 6'5", Bryce Montgomery. But I spoke to Hugo this morning. He is jacked up that it was Vancouver. I told him in the morning, I said, I hope that Vancouver can land you. We were just chatting about 10 minutes ago, and he's very excited. He's actually heading to Barcelona at 6 a.m. in the morning. For a little bit of a vacation. So I said, this is a good way to start your vacation, being drafted by the Vancouver Canucks. And he's absolutely jacked up. He obviously knows about the Swedish connection in Vancouver, and told me today that I don't think there's a better team that could have drafted him. So he's jacked up with the pick, and it's going to be exciting to follow him. I think next year he might be in Allsvenskan in the second tier over there in Sweden, and it's going to be good to see how he kind of flourishes in that league, because he kind of dominated quite a bit in the third division. And we heard that from a lot of these J-20 prospects that were highly touted, that third division isn't, I mean, it's just a step above like a men's league hockey. So they were able to look really good in that third division. And next year will be a much bigger test than the Allsvenskan second league over there in Sweden.
Well, and it's going to be really interesting, Chris, to see, you know, Bick and I talked about this a bit earlier on the show, that we've had a lot of discussions about how many prospects could potentially fall through the cracks this year, because it's such a different draft year than other years in the past. And just looking at, you know, whether it's Myron Berg or it's Gabrielsson, and just kind of looking at their years, these are the types of players that, in theory, might be the guys that slip through the cracks. So hopefully the Canucks find one or two of those guys in this year's draft.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they're looking at, actually, with their first selection in the draft in Danila Klimovic. I mean, this is a guy who didn't really have a lot of tape on him. Nobody was really talking about him. And then he comes to the U18s, and it's like, hey, all those numbers he was putting up in the Belarusian second league are actually meaning something now. And a lot of people will look at that and say, you know, it's a one tournament thing, right? It's one tournament. He looked great in that one tournament with the 6 goals in 5 games, hat trick in one of those games as well. But I think people also need to remember that was the biggest moment for that kid, right? Like, that was the biggest opportunity for him to showcase his game and show what he's able to do. And the kid stepped up to the plate and absolutely delivered. He scored a ton of goals, looked excellent from both sides of the circle. He can shoot from the left, he can shoot from the right. that one-timer that he does from the left side on that power play, and it was excellent. And that's something that just shows up in all of the film from him playing in that Belarusian second league. And you look at the conditions that that team was under. I mean, it's a massive jump for him to go to the QMJHL, which it looks like he's going to do as indicated by his Instagram account. He'll be jumping over to the Q next year, and that's going to be exciting because that's, you know, a spot where he can really start to develop, really start to be coached and kind of work some more things into his game. Because right now, like, if you just look at him, he's just a raw piece of clay who can shoot. Like, that's kind of what you get with him. He's a big body. He can shoot. And his effort level is really high. And I think if you're looking at a player in the second round, you know, it seems like a great pick because somebody was going to take a chance on him in the second round. And I'm kind of happy that it was the Canucks taking a big home run swing on a guy like Klimovich.
Talking to Chris Faber here on Canucks Convo. You can also read his stuff at Canucks Army as well. Just kind of cycling back to Gabrielsson and really the defensive prospects on a whole in the entire Canucks organization. It's kind of been said to me before, and it's a term, you know, a phrase that we can use a lot when you're building out a decor, is you don't want one style for your entire decor. You kind of want to fill out the basketball team, right? You get different sizes, get different skill sets. When you look at what's not in the organization just yet for the Vancouver Canucks defense, do you like the stylistic fits for all the pieces?
Gabrielsson, I think, is interesting because I think it was more of the best player available as a defenseman. Like, I brought up Montgomery before. You know, the Canucks don't have a 6'5", 230-pound right-shot defenseman who skates well. That would have been, you know, a nice pick, and he went one right after Gabrielsson. But what you're getting with Gabrielsson is just like, man, the guy's skating was so well, and I just – watching the way that he kind of grew speed as he kind of just skated backwards, made his turns, looked so good on his edges, that the skating is the thing that sticks out for him. And I mean, looking at the way that the NHL is moving into the future, this is the type of prospect defenseman that you're going to get. And it's kind of exciting to know that he's also not like 5'9" or 5'8". Like, you know, he's 6'1". He fills that out pretty well at about 180 pounds. And to think that he was doing that at 18, like, I don't know about you guys, but I think I've gained about 120 pounds since I was 18. So I don't think it's very hard to put on weight. And I'm expecting him to kind of do the same and come in to North America looking closer to 200 pounds and maybe sitting at 6'2". And we're talking about a good-sized bodied guy who already skates well, and it'll be interesting to see how he develops over the next couple of years in Sweden.
Well, I'm with you there, Chris. I mean, when people say, well, this guy's thin, he hasn't grown any, he's like, he's 18. You don't want him to be fully grown yet. It means he has projection remaining still. He can still grow and become a strong player down the road. I mean, that drives me wild as well. So I'm totally with you there. Your co-host on Canucks Convo, David Quadrelli, Quads, is texting in, and he's saying, I've been watching Koskin Vuau for months to answer Bick's question. Yes, he can maximize his potential. And I know the organization is very excited. He was still on the board in the fifth round when they made him their selection with their pick. What do you make of the Finnish goaltender they selected?
Yeah, I've been listening to Quads talk about him for what feels like maybe 4 months now on Canucks Combo every single week. And it's funny because normally when he starts talking goalies, I just zone out and let him do like a 5-minute rant, and then I just kind of come in and talk about something else. So I've picked up like little bits and pieces. But what I've kind of heard, and this is all pretty much through Quads, I am not a goalie prospect guy. I love scouting the draft, but I just don't want to do it for goalies. It's just not my my expertise at all. But from what Quads has said, it's a very similar guy to Arthur Filho's, where the body and the movement is the sort of thing that really intrigues a lot of Canucks fans and probably intrigued Ian Clark into making that decision. And there's a lot of things for him to work on. I know he's mentioned that the glove positioning is something that needs to be worked on, even the blocker positioning. It seems like everything with his movement on his lower half is excellent, and that's kind of what they're banking on, is the potential there to work on, you know, being able to make those saves on the high part of the net, because right now he's locking down the bottom half really well for a guy who's 6'4". And yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do with Ian Clark. I know I just heard him on with you guys. I was kind of surprised to hear that he hasn't talked to Ian Clark yet. It seems like Ian Clark talks to every European goaltender. But it's going to be exciting to see him, you know, get into camp. And I think back to training camp in Victoria, and I think, you know, both of you guys were there. I remember seeing Arthur Filho's and just seeing the way that he moved around in the crease and thinking, like, that is something to be real excited about, just from seeing how he moved around the crease and just kind of felt like a pro. I'm kind of expecting a similar thing with Koskenvo.
Well, you know, Chris, we look forward to watching all these prospects develop over the next couple of years, and I know you'll keep tabs on them as well, so we look forward to reading your work and listening to what you have to say to them, and I know you got to get going and come in and pull a shift here at Sportsnet 650, so we'll let you go, and we look forward to chatting with you again soon, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks a lot. Blue Jays at 4, Canadians at 7. Let's do this. Have a good one, guys.